Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello. Welcome to Voices of Women. I'm your host, Chris Stainis, and also the founder of Women of Wisdom Foundation. We're having our 28th annual Women of Wisdom Conference in Seattle, February 14th to the 16th. Our theme is Radiate Loving Harmony, Unite Our World. We have a special guest this year, including the well-known author, Jean Shinoda Bolen. And you can read all about the conference at womenofwisdom.org. We also have Isadora Leidenfrost showing the movie about Lydia Rule and her goddess banners. And we have Sarah Beek, author of Red Hot and Holy, and a few other books that she's done. So today I'm interviewing one of our workshop presenters, Robin Maynard Dobbs. She is a visionary artist who channels her life force in service of the divine energy that spins the cosmos. For the past 30 years, Robin has used her skills as a certified counselor, hypnotherapist, and health and wellness coach to help hundreds of women who struggle with their relationship to food and to their body size. In her practice of aware eating, she guides women to realize the burden of heavy emotions and to develop a loving partnership with their bodies. Robin made a shift in her work to address this heaviness more directly by changing her business name from Aware Eating to Becoming Lighter. Becoming Lighter opens the possibility that we can experience food with joy and a light heart and thus become lighter on all levels. Her website is www.becominglighter.com. And she's going to present a workshop called Guts and Grace at the conference. So let me check if Robin is here on the lines. Robin, are you there? So we're waiting for Robin to get on the phone. We had a little time change. So I'll just talk a little bit about the conference until she gets on. We're just 2 weeks away. It's in the UW Tower in the University District, and it's an event that you can spend all weekend with us, or you can come Friday night to the concert with Robin Maynard Dobbs. Sorry, Robin's on the phone now. With Wendy Rules doing a concert Friday night, and we also have workshops and Saturday and Sunday. You can go Saturday, or you can go Sunday, or you can both days. So Robin's on her line now. So hi, Robin.
Hi, I'm so glad we connected.
Yes, I discovered it. It was a time change on Blog Talk, and I was able to change it back to 1 o'clock on time, which was our plan. So,
Perfect. So
tell us about your journey and what led you to your work.
Absolutely. First of all, thank you for having me. I'm so excited about the Women of Wisdom Conference. Yes. Well, first of all, you know, it's fascinating to look back and see the evolution as things come forward, right? So in college, I just I was kind of crazy around food, I'll have to say. I was compulsively eating. I would bake a loaf of bread. You know how that is when it comes out of the oven and it smells so good. And I would cut a slice, and I would butter it and eat it, and then another slice, and then another slice, and I'd end up eating the whole loaf. And then I would run 7 miles to make sure I didn't gain weight. So it was a lot of compulsion around food. And then when I graduated, I ended up taking a job at Nutrisystem, and I was a counselor there. And I began to see the struggles of the customers. You know, they would try so hard to lose weight, and they would, you know, pay their money and really try to eat good, you know, and then they would not be succeeding, and it would be so frustrating for them. And I saw how they were disconnected from their bodies and just spending so much money and effort and judged by the number on the scale, right, rather than the richness of their souls, like me, you know. So, you know, Chris, I've been always fascinated by the connection between women and food, because here we are. We're the ones who are usually the stewards of food, and we are the ones who care for our children and cook and, you know, prepare. And it's just about how to nurture ourselves when we're so busy nurturing others, right? And I knew there's got to be another way when I was in the Nutrisystems mode and trying to figure it all out. I began to research in the library, and I found a book called Eating Awareness Training, which was a way of coming back into the body, eating when you're hungry, stopping when you're satisfied, kind of like what we're designed to do as babies. And I became a facilitator of that process in 1991 and just started working with women since then, you know, groups and individually, and I've been delighted to be involved in that work since 1991.
Well, tell us, what's the difference? What did you find different with that eating awareness training?
Yeah. Well, you know, again, we are, most of the time, we're relying on external authorities for decisions around food. You know, especially in this culture, we're looking at the latest diet. We're looking at somebody to tell us what we should eat. And we just miss that we have a connection to our bodies, that our bodies are amazingly intelligent. And so, you know, when we have learned from early, at an early age, we did just what we needed to do, which was eat when we're hungry, stop when you're satisfied, right? If you're ever around a baby, you try to feed them too much, guess what? They'll spit it up in your face, right? So that just has been interfered with messages like, you know, you fell and skinned your knee, so don't cry, have a cookie, or eat everything on your plate, right? So what I realized is that with our process of trying to figure out what to eat mentally, we need a way of contacting the body. And I created systems where we could do that really simply with three questions, basically. Yeah. So can I take you through those questions for a moment?
Oh, sure. Okay? Let's do that. Yeah.
Do that, because that's something that everybody who's listening can do right now. It's just helpful. We generally make 200 decisions around food alone a day, and this process just simplifies everything, you know? So our first question is, am I hungry? And to find out, there's a simple way, and I'm going to invite everyone who's listening to put their hand on their belly. And usually when we do that, we go, uh-oh, you know. So notice that judgment and tell that judgment, thanks for sharing. And just take your attention right down and take a breath so that your hand rises and falls, just like you're doing right now. And imagine that underneath your hand, inside your body, there's a fuel gauge that measures a fuel gauge, like a fuel gauge on your car, right? That measures your how hungry, how satisfied, or how full you are. One is starving. Two is hungry. Three is slightly hungry. Four is light. Five is just comfortable and satisfied. Six is full. Seven is slightly uncomfortable. Eight is more uncomfortable. Nine is stuffed, and 10 is absolutely stuffed. So notice,
like on Thanksgiving.
Exactly, right. And so what number did you get right now, can I ask? You know, what are you noticing?
Oh, I haven't had breakfast yet, so I'm hungry.
Yeah, so you're a 2, okay, or so, right around there.
Yeah.
Normally it's better not to try to get to a 1, right, because usually we're trying to, you know, that kind of creates some panic for a lot of us. So it's great to notice, right? So this is a great time, Chris, when you are at a 2, to check in and say, okay, I'm hungry, physically hungry. What does my body want, right? And you can check in right now. See, is it something warm or cold or room temperature? You know, what temperature is it? Do I want something crunchy or smooth or salty or creamy, right? And the cool thing is our bodies are really intelligent, and our bodies want to feel good. They want to be light. So do you have any sense, can I ask, Chris, when you're checking in, what you might want?
Oh, I know what I should have. And I might go the fast route and do something that's convenient. So.
Yeah, you know, and Chris, that's all of us, right? Of course, we need something quickly, especially if we're hungry, right? But for a lot of us, just notice that if it's a cold day, even if you really want ice cream, right? We really love ice cream. On a cold day, the good possibility is your body wants something warm. You know, like a nourishing soup, like minestrone, or you know, wonderful yam that's baked, or something delicious that's warm. And we forget that in our desire to get something fast in us. So it's a really good way to just pause and connect, and also to have food available, you know, some extra food available, like soup that you've made or in a box. You know. So that's the second question. If my body is hungry, what is it that I'm really wanting? But if you're not hungry, for anyone out there who's above a 5 or a 6, if I'm not hungry, what is it I'm really wanting? That's a great question to ask yourself. And most of us don't stop long enough to pause to find out, right? But by using the number scale like we just went through, you can distinguish physical hunger from emotional hunger, right? And when you do that, you can pause for a moment, because most of us kind of eat whatever's there. You know, I'm lonely, I'm bored, I'm restless, you know, I'm exhausted. It's a big reason why women turn to food, just to kind of boost their energy, right? So instead, just to pause for a few minutes, and you can tell yourself, hey, in a couple minutes, I can eat if I need to. But right now, I'm going to pause. And I'm going to take a breath. And I'm going to find out what I'm really feeling, right? Because if I'm really needing, I mean, if I'm exhausted and really needing to rest, then food really won't satisfy that. What I really need is a power nap, right? So the cool thing is, by pausing, you're going to discover a language of what that urge to eat is trying to tell you. And then you can find out what's going on, and, you know, find out what's going on underneath. And, you know, and also to be able to sit with discomfort and practice being present. It's not always easy to do that, by the way. So sometimes, you know, that's when you need a coach to help you practice being present. So you're not just turning to food to every upset you've got and swallowing it back. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, yes, for sure. And it is taking the time to do that inner work. You know, sometimes we're so busy we don't stop to do that.
That's totally true, Chris. And the cool thing is, when you do stop, and it doesn't take long, really, you find a deep satisfaction and fulfillment that you just can't get from a Krispy Kreme. You know? You get a moment of pleasure, but you're leaving yourself empty. So it's a really good time to check in.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go on. I want you to talk about, you know, the title of your workshop, Guts and Grace. How did you come up with that name?
Oh, well, I'm 64, right? So we are heading into, you know, the eldership, of, particularly for women who are over 50. It's a time of our bodies changing, right? You know, my jawline is sagging a bit. There's a few more wrinkles. I'm seeing splotches or cellulite in places that I do not want them, you know. And it's, oh, my God, it's really easy to criticize our bodies at that moment. So the guts part of Guts and Grace is that we are going into a time in our lives where, you know, it's not easy. As I've noticed, there's like pains and aches and things that didn't show up when we were in youth, right? So there's a loss a lot of times, and a time of grieving, and a time to really see, wow, okay, if I don't have that youth anymore, what is it I do have? And then that's the grace part, you know? Because what's really happening is if we... instead of putting all that energy, Chris, into, you know, derating our bodies and criticizing the size of our thighs and trying to lose weight with the old system, if we put all that energy, we free that up, wow, we could probably power Seattle. You know what I mean? So if we were to take that energy that's bound up in obsession with the body weight and free it up, you know, the grace part is, where do we want to put that energy? You know, it's time for so many of us to dive deep into our a sense, build a sense of self that's resilient and grounded and connected to a part of you that never dies, to the spirit, right? And to be the best you can be, yes, certainly get facials and move, you know, in a way that's joyful for you. I call it movement, not exercise. But mainly accepting all of this with equanimity and grace. So when we go into our next phase of our lives, we have some foundation of the spirit, right? So when you become softer in your belly, right, imagine what would happen if you could become softer in your heart towards yourself instead of so hard on yourself, right? What if you could be kinder? And if you were wider in your hips than you were before, right, what if you can widen your perspective so you could feel that you could really notice the beauty of your sparkling eyes, right? And notice the light coming through, the unconditional love, right? The love that happens instead of when you lose 20 pounds, right? It's now. So that the body you've taken for granted, for most of us when we're over 50, needs a little more kind attention, right? So that's the attunement I'm going to be talking about in the workshop, the listening, finding out what's best. Yeah. So that's the guts and grace. I'll say just one more piece there, is that our acceptance of ourselves as elders with these changes of impermanence, right, gives a gift, you know? Because why would you want to care for something you hate, right? And what do we want to pass on to younger women? Do we want to pass on self-loathing or the wisdom that lightness is here now in their spiritual energy? And our bodies are a byproduct of that lightness when you attend to them with grace and ease, you know? And it's going to give you a spiritual feeling of lightness, not going to come through airbrushed thighs. So that's why it's guts and grace. Hopefully that answered your question.
Oh, yeah, it's great. It's great information there. And there's so much, you know, we struggle so much to accept our bodies as we age. And what you're talking about is realizing the gift in it. I love that thought of, you know, widening. Okay, our hips are widening. Well, we're widening our perspective on life, widening our who we are, you know, and all that. So I love that, you know, changing those, what those words mean. A soft, round tummy. Well, we're softening ourselves. I mean, you know, taking a look at it that way. And so this, I think, is what you're talking about. I'd like you to share more on the feminine approach to how to accept our bodies. I think that's what you're talking about.
Oh, totally. And I'm so glad you asked, because, man, do we need it. The feminine approach, I mean, I'm going to say as opposed to what we were doing before, right, at our current paradigm, I'm going to say a little bit about that because that helps us contrast what the old way and the new way. So the old way is that I see it as based on the masculine, you know, which is what? Based on numbers, right? On logic, you know, hey, just eat less and exercise more, right? You should lose weight. It's not working so well. I think a lot of our listeners may know that. And that they say, of course, you know this, 95% of the pounds lost in America are gained back again, plus some. So if it's not working, you know, if we become obsessed with counting, we count, you know, fat grams and carbs. You know, we used to count fat grams, now we're counting carbs, and all of the diets out there. What it does, it's just that the body's not a machine. You know, it's she, I call her a she. She is not an it. When we look at her in the way of a measurement on the scale, we objectify the body as an it, right? And then we manipulate to try to make her do something that we want, right? Our minds want. But the problem is there's a lot of confusion with this, Chris, because we get images of airbrushed models, supermodels, right? There are 10,000 women in America who don't look like a supermodel and one who does, right? And she's been airbrushed and photoshopped into perfection. So what happens when we look at that, they say 70% of women who look through fashion magazines feel guilt and shame afterwards. And I just want to say that our shame is where we've come from, and shame is one of the heaviest energies. And we are energetic beings, right? So that's where we've come from, okay? Now, my perception is to shift to the feminine. The cool thing is, what's the feminine? Nurturing, caring, loving, collaboration, coming back to a relationship with this living body, and seeing the body as what I call a female animal, right? So it's seeing our bodies as a she rather than an it, right? And those of you who have pets, I want you to think of your dog or your cat right now and just think of how you love them, you know, without conditions. It's just, they totally adore. They're cuddly, they're soft, they're lovable, right? Many of us feed our bodies better than, we feed our pets better than we feed our bodies, by the way. So it's kind of like if you can imagine your female animal like your pet. That shifts the energy right there to something feminine, right? And let's do that right now. Let's engage this partnership. And we do that by nurturing how we nurture any relationship, we pay attention, right? So I'm going to invite everyone who's with us to start that by putting your hand on your heart and taking a breath. There you go. Feel the miracle of your heart beating without you having to make it happen, right? There's an innate intelligence that beats your heart. And just breathe under your heart and soften into the frequency of the feminine. It's natural. And you all have it, because if you're a woman listening to this, it's already built in, right? Appreciate right now under your hand your heart beating 70 times a minute. Your body is completely devoted to you, to one purpose, to keep you alive. You know? She's devoted to keeping you alive. That's all she's doing here. And you don't have to make it happen with your mind. So, Chris, can we translate that into food? Can I take people through an exercise right now? Can help us go there?
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, why not, right? I want to, you know, with this partnership with our bodies, the next most important intimate relationship is the one we have with food. Right? So if we have any other addiction, cigarettes, alcohol, drugs, you can live without any of those, but you can't live without food. So we shift our perception, and food is digested, goes down into our stomach, and then transforms into our skin, into our tissues, right? If you look at your hand, it's made of what you've been eating. So let's make this real and celebrate the life force we've got. So if you happen to have food with you, great. And if you don't, I'm going to have all of our listeners imagine, okay, for a moment. You can do this with me. Hold an orange in your hand just for a moment. And just feel the weight of that orange and notice that gorgeous color. The sensuousness is the feminine. So we're going to really dive in here. Become present with this orange and smell it. And begin to peel it. You know, just imagine you can peel it. And imagine that you have a section of orange right here. And you bring that juicy, succulent piece right to your mouth right now. And take a bite. ha. And you're feeling that juice dribble down your chin right now. No, I want you to notice, right? Saliva coming to your mouth. Now, how amazing is that? That is the body's way of preparing digestion just by using your imagination. That's not even having a real orange, right? So she's taking such good care of you, you know? And then every single molecule of this orange gets absorbed. And the nutrients from this fruit are going to circulate throughout your circulatory system. The whole, actually, another thing that blows my mind is if you were to put your circulatory system with your blood vessels, so that's the veins and arteries, if you put them end to end, they would circle the globe two times. 65,000 miles of blood vessels that are right here in your own body right now. That's the miracle that we have, right? And the nourishment with this orange enlivens 75 trillion cells that make up your body. So you get to be alive, right? How cool is that? Well, this experience of aliveness is what we're looking for when we're finally losing the weight, right? That we want aliveness, we want life force. So it's the sensuousness, Chris, that's the feminine, you know? And it's right in front of our nose. It's right here already. We don't have to wait for it, you know? And I want women to notice that the joy that they're looking for is right here and now. That's the feminine. Hope that answered your question there.
Oh, it's great. It brings that, what you described is sort of the sensuality of food. But, you know, when we really love something, and I'm not talking junk food or, I love ice cream, but, you know, but something that's really healthy that you love and feel that sensation of that and really appreciate, you know, what's going into your body, I can see where that would shift that. You know, to imagine food that's really healthy and that you love the taste of and put that in front of you to be part of your diet is shifting that whole, the shift to the feminine relating to the becoming lighter. And it isn't, this might relate to weight loss and it might not. It's just becoming lighter in your spirit too. So I know that people in the workshop will be doing more and more of these exercises and coming to terms with, accepting our bodies too, as we are.
Right.
I almost think that would be one of the first steps of, instead of hating our bodies, we don't get anywhere when we hate our bodies. We tend to eat more of the bad things when we, things that aren't good for you, when we're in that hate mode of, you know, dislike and disgust, and the shame that you're talking about is so real for women, I think, too. Well, I want to, just before we end, too, you have a series of paintings that you're also an artist. You've had many years. We've had your art on our cover of our brochures, which has been beautiful. But now you have a series of paintings called Woman Dancing with Vegetables. And they're quite delightful and fun. And how do you use these? I think you've made cards out of them, too. How do you use this to fit into the becoming lighter?
Oh, absolutely. Well, this is delightful for me because Women Dancing with Vegetables came about, right, because I really wanted to convey the perception of the amazing grace and beauty inherent in fresh vegetables and fruit. And there, for a while there, I actually was not painting, and I was trying to kind of as I said, do the old paradigm of, you know, trying to figure out how to give the clients that I see the weight loss that they wanted. And I was all up in my head researching nutrition and, you know, all of the number part of it. But I wasn't painting, and I realized, wow, I was really not giving myself the love I was looking for, you know, my strengths and my gifts. And then I started just looking at vegetables, you know, and when you see them, you become enthralled with the color, the beauty inherent there, right? And as I painted, I became absorbed for any of you who do creative processes, right? You become absorbed in whatever you're focused on, and it became absorbed in that fuzzy skin of the peach or the frilly edges of the kale. And you know what? When you cut a purple cabbage in half and you see that purple maze, it is just so beautiful. That's what I was fascinated by. So I have images of a woman. Each of them have kind of a life force, right? So there's one woman jumping into a purple maze of cabbage, and another one that's skateboarding off of peaches, and swan diving off zucchini, which is kind of fun, and jumping off of purple maze of cabbage, waltzing with broccoli, and flying with wet lettuce wings, backbending over lemons. You know, that kind of energy of like, wow, when we eat this food, you know, it helps us come to life. So let's practice this for just a moment. Because the truth is that I wanted to shift the perception of healthy eating, quote unquote, healthy, right? We all should be eating healthy, right? But I wanted it to be from, instead of being tedious and boring, right, to appreciating the gift of nature and to the wonder of ordinary fruits and vegetables. So let's do this for a moment because it brings it to life. That if you were to see, if you were to imagine that you've got a cupcake in one hand, right, and just imagine that cupcake. I mean, for so many of us, right, pink frosting and sparkles, you know, who knows, chocolate cake, right? Reminds us of our birthdays, like at 10 or 11 years old. And it's about fun and celebration, right? But the one thing is, you may notice for so many of you that when you eat that, you don't feel so good afterwards. You know, for me, it's certainly a headache, you know, just kind of a racy, restless, tight feeling, or whatever you notice in your body. But just pay attention when you're eating that, and you can see what effect it has, right? So one hand's a cupcake, and the right hand, or the other hand, is a spinach salad, okay? It's not that one's better, but it's just that one is going to give you more vitality, okay? So if you have spinach in your other hand, what if you preferred the spinach because of how it made you feel, right? It's high-octane fuel. You can think of it as high-octane fuel. And that plants that grow, right, just think of it. The sunshine comes, you know, from 93 million miles away, comes to our earth, and the sunshine is converted into photosynthesis with plants, that process, right? So that green of the spinach, this is, when it comes into your body, Chris, this is liquid sunshine. You can think of it as liquid sunshine. It's giving you the vitality you're looking for. And life force that created this planet, right, 4.5 billion years ago, she, the life force, designed our cells to take this in and thrive on that juice, on that photosynthesis, on that liquid sunshine. So that's what I wanted to show, right, in my Dancing with Vegetables, that there's wonder and beauty. And the one other thing is that, you know, as I mentioned, all the other nutritional advice out there, right? You know, all of the other diets, et cetera, everyone has one thing in common. They all recommend one thing, right? Eat more foods that are coming from a plant and less foods that are made in a plant, right? Less foods that are processed. And as you pay attention and pause and listen, you're going to notice how that orange, right, makes you feel. And that's the beauty of it. It's going to help you come alive. And the more you do that, you're going to become lighter as a natural byproduct. And I'm going to say both buoyant and luminous. So light in weight and also light translucent in your body. So light and luminous. Because your spirit and the love of your body is going to shine through your eyes. It's a pretty cool thing, process that I'm wanting to invite people to engage in.
Yeah. Oh, that's great, and yeah, the art's beautiful, and the whole the aspect of that you're sharing of bringing, you know, the lightness of those and the health and the nutrients that the earth is bringing forth for us is what our body is calling for. And the more we realize that, the healthier and lighter we'll become. And we are what we eat, they say. So I would love for you, just have a few more minutes left, share, you've been at Woman Wisdom many years, just maybe share briefly what it means to you, what you've gained by attending and presenting at Woman of Wisdom.
Oh, wow. Well, Chris, I'm just so grateful, you know, for your devotion and certainly all of the council's devotion of Women of Wisdom. It's just so beautiful. It's 28 years, right? Wow. And I've been pretty much involved since the beginning. You mentioned I was doing some artwork. I created some silk banners from the beginning, you know, to hang in the church. And
oh, yeah, that was beautiful.
Remember
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've been so honored to be part of it. I mean, just as a participant, certainly, and also as a presenter. And my God, every time I go, I'm feeling blessed that it's in Seattle. And every time I go, I always become inspired. It's kind of a cross-pollinization that happens at Women of Wisdom. You know, we share our gifts, we share our passions, and so many presenters that I remember just kind of changing my life, actually, sending me on a course that really involves my own inner feminine wisdom so that my intuition could come forward instead of, you know, when we're in this culture, it's just, as I was explaining before, the masculine system is just limited, you know, and it kind of constricts our souls in some ways. When we're trying to fit into a model of what we should be rather than, petal by petal opening to the possibility of who we are as magnificent women on the planet, right? So the Women of Wisdom is a wonderful place for that flowering to happen. And, you know, the truth is the earth is calling all of us to evolve. You know, the Dalai Lama, you may know this, said that it will be women of the West who's going to be ushering the new earth. And so here we are, right? The Women of Wisdom is a wonderful place for this to be nourished and cherished and planted a new sense of possibility. We're privileged enough here to not just be focusing on survival, which unfortunately so many of us sisters across the globe are really struggling. But what we need to do is just as we do with the Women of Wisdom, you know, contact each other as we grow inside our own souls. We light that up, and that affects our families, right? And that spreads and radiates to our community. And then that radiance spreads to light this world, and we so need that energy. And the Women of Wisdom is just a beautiful place to honor and appreciate and evolve the feminine. That's, by the way, it's rising on the planet. And mm-hmm. Women of Wisdom is part of the wave, right, of that future wave that's coming through. So I'm so honored to be a part of it, Chris.
Yes, you spoke of that so lovingly and beautifully, and what you spoke about is really our theme, Radiate Loving Energy. It's exactly what you were talking about, which is our theme this year, and so fitting very nicely to all the presenters that are coming. I've been asking them about that, and you spoke about it so perfectly about your work and what we're doing now and what we're doing at Women of Wisdom. So thank you so much for being on the show today, Robin.
Well, thank you again. Such an honor to be here. And I hope everyone comes. You may already be saying this, but to the Women of Wisdom, but my workshop is on February 16th. That's Sunday morning, 9:30 to 12:30. You might have already said that, but just reminding people of that.
Yes. So be sure to check out the website, womanofwisdom.org. You can look for all the events that are offered at the conference. And as I said, you can attend just one day, Saturday or Sunday, if you have a limited schedule on the weekend, or come both days, which a lot of people are doing. So it's great because they can really indulge in all the gifts that are offered and just making all the connections with women at the conference. And Friday night is a concert with Wendy Rule, who is fabulous. I mean, you cannot miss this concert, and it's also open to men. So also check out Robin's website, which is www.becominglighter.com. So I hope everybody has a great day. I'll be back next week for the last of the interviews with presenters at the conference. And then before you know it, the conference is here, February 14th through the 16th. Okay, well, bye for now.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.